This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A new study from China provides more shocking evidence abortion is harmful to women. Those who have a history of abortion early in life can have a high risk of metabolic syndrome. This is a combination of medical disorders that, when occurring together, increase the risk of developing diabetes, cardiovascular disease, or stroke. And the risk increases with each abortion a woman has. One of the reasons abortion is linked to the syndrome is depression is known to cause heart disease. Women who abort their babies are at a risk of depression. Scientific evidence continues to mount that abortion is bad for women. So why does Congress allow legal abortion and fund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills?
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Belsky is your host for real-life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Belsky, and today's topic is Stewardship of the Environment, God's Creation of Nature. When you hear the message, be a wise steward of your resources, do you ever consider the role you play in your community environment? It's natural to think of time, talent, and treasure when stewardship is mentioned, but our faith teaches us that all is gift from God. Thus, respect for nature and doing our part to ensure a safe and clean environment is important. Here are just three areas we can pay more attention. A lot of action has been taken in recent years by nonprofits geared towards a cleaner environment. The first area of focus is to eliminate litter. Consider how your actions to pick up after yourself are pleasing to God. Be proud to do your part to keep your community and neighborhood clean. Secondly, look at ways to recycle and make the most out of your purchases. Does it matter to you that so much plastic consumes our landfills? Have you given thought as to how you can make a particular purchase last longer? Third, in a country filled with abundance, what's being done to ensure our nature and environment for the next generation? This is more than eating bread crust and cleaning off your plate. The root lies in not wasting what we've been given. There's a great deal of time and effort that goes into caring for our place of residence in addition to our possessions. Keeping up what is ours or giving our used possessions to the less fortunate are a couple of ways to be prudent stewards of our blessings from God. I'm Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Crux of the Matter. I'm Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. In Catholic theology, the one priesthood of Jesus Christ is participated in through two ways: the baptismal priesthood, also referred to as the common priesthood of all the faithful, and the ministerial priesthood, also called the hierarchical priesthood. Unfortunately, however, these two distinct participations in Christ's one priesthood often become convoluted, for example, at the parish level, with regard to duties strictly intended for the priest and those strictly intended for the laity. This can lead to that phenomena referred to often as the clericalization of the laity and the laicization of the clergy. But based solidly on Scripture, tradition, and the magisterium, Church teaching on this topic is clear. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1547, states, "The ministerial or hierarchical priesthood of bishops and priests and the common priesthood of all the faithful participate each in its own proper way in the one priesthood of Christ. While being ordered one to another, they do differ essentially. While the common priesthood of the faithful is exercised by the unfolding of baptismal grace, the ministerial priesthood is at the service of the common priesthood." As Catholics, then, we hold that the ministerial priesthood, through the power of the laying on of hands from a direct descendant of the apostles, is a means by which Christ unceasingly builds up and leads his church in its common priesthood of all the faithful. This is why the ministerial priesthood has its own sacrament, the sacrament of holy orders. And through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, the faithful exercise their common priesthood, each according to his own vocation, through their participation in Christ's own mission as priest, prophet, and king. And that's the crux of the matter. I'm Father Wade Menezes. Thanks for joining us here at EWTN.
Mother Angelica, answering the call.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello?
Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
And what is your question?
I want to say that God bless you, because
thank
your program is bringing me a lot of close to God, because I have a lot of disappointments about the church. First of all, my son tried to get the first communion and nobody pay attention to him, and they keep putting all the appointments away, and my son now is in drugs and almost lost, because he lost faith in the religion. I know he's in love God because he pulls his cross, but I have a lot of pain in my heart, Mother.
I know.
And second, I try to pray, and we don't have no monsters in here. And I know he's in there in front of us, but I cannot find him. So I pray all the time with you program television. I pray the rosary and everything with you, and I don't show me my television. I live in the daytime, the one in the living room, and in the nighttime in my bedroom. And I listen to you all the time, and the fathers, God bless the fathers, because they grow my faith no matter what I'm having in my pain in my heart. I still believe in God, and I know He's listening to my prayers. And God bless you for your program, Mother.
Well, I know many people like you in this country, all over the world, disappointed in the church. But don't be disappointed in the church. The church is wounded, perhaps, but she's beautiful, filled with truth, a whole deposit of truth. What you're disappointed in is the people in the church. I can understand that. It's a heartache when you see the church you love so much totally, very slowly destroyed in her doctrine, in her exegesis, her scripture, in the miracles of Jesus, in the beauties of her devotion, in the structure of her churches, and the destruction of her churches is so much, so much, so much. I think it's one of the greatest heartaches of this day. But you've got to separate the schisms and the people there that are trying to destroy what we love so dearly. And you have to pray for them, because their souls are in grave, grave, grave danger. And Jesus died for them too. But you must always keep your faith in the doctrines and the faith and morals of the church. That part of the church that has not changed one iota. That part of the church that is the bride of Christ. And you belong to that. And we can't lose faith. If we had faith in the people in the church, then our faith will waver, you see, because people come and go, they create scandal, they do terrible things. We have to leave that to the Lord. Woe to the man, he said, by whom scandal comes. It were better for him if he had a millstone around his neck and drowned in the sea. Sometimes I've thought of having a millstone award every week. The most stupid heresy, the most asinine schism that I could think of, or that came my way this week, and I was going to say, so-and-so gets the millstone of the week. I've thought about it very seriously. Somehow I didn't think I have enough millstones. However, Jesus does hear you. You may be destitute now. You may think your prayers are not answered. You may be so filled with fear and anguish. But one day, all of that messy looking puzzle, the puzzle that pieces never fit together. One day, when you meet the Lord, you'll understand. And on that day, it'll all make sense. On that day, you'll look at a mansion in his kingdom and you say, "Ah, I never knew it all mattered that much." And see, that's what faith is. Right now, you have to have that deep faith that everything that happens to you, even if your church should fall apart, the church, the bride of Christ, will be here when Gabriel blows that horn. And that may not be too far off. Hang in there, sweetheart. There is a kingdom waiting for you. Your Father is preparing for you a wondrous mansion. See? It's so wonderful to know that even though we don't see an answer to our prayers, even though we do not feel our Lord answers our prayers, it's all turning to good. See? You know, some people want to know why I say that all these schismatics are wrong just because they disagree with the church. You're not disagreeing with me. See? We're voicing in this net what the church teaches. Who cares about my opinion? I'm not giving you my opinion. And the church is not a democratic society that you can choose parties, you know. You can't choose doctrines. You got to accept them all. You know, St. John has something mighty nice. Well, it's kind of rough to say. He said, "He who says there is no sin calls God a liar." Ooh, wow. Huh? Not too nice for that beloved disciple. Well, I'm going to say the same. If you say there is no sin, then you call God a liar. If you say there's no commandments and there's no truth, it's not a matter of disagreeing. It's a matter of accepting or not accepting a truth. But there has to be a truth to accept or not accept. And the church is only giving us the truth. If you don't accept that truth, fine. But if you encourage others not to accept that truth, millstone for you, sweetheart. Because you draw people away from God. See, that's not too good.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Phone lines are open to chat with our friend Meg Meeker. And she loves talking about the role of fathers and gives fathers so much encouragement. And I know one of the reasons, Meg, is because you and I both had great dads, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Big influence in our lives.
You know, fathers are an enormous influence, for good or for bad. You know, look what's happening to our country with all the young boys who didn't have fathers.
Right.
You know, and on one hand, I think a lot in the media and a lot of people say, oh, you know, dads aren't important. You see a lot of single mothers choosing to have children without a dad anywhere in the picture on their own, saying, well, you know, dads are just so insignificant. And yet, down deep, we all know they're critically important. You know, they're a reason for so many of the social ills in our country. And we know that because you crave a dad's attention. If you had a good dad, you want more of his time. If you had a bad dad or a painful relationship with your dad, you want more time to heal that. So, you know, as I said before, you know, your father's the one person you take to your grave with you.
Now, you've written about dads before, and you've also really encouraged dads of daughters. What's different about this book? You've got this, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within.
What I really wanted to do were several things. First of all, to push back against the anti-male, anti-dad culture, which really is it marginalizes fathers so much, and I want to say, hang on a minute. You know, this isn't a game. This isn't funny. And I really wanted to push back and bring some data forward to say, this is who dads really are. This is the impact they really make on kids. This is why kids need a healthy and good dad in the home. And then this second thing I wanted to do was really help give dads a roadmap. You know, so many times I hear from fathers, you know, I literally just don't know what to do. You know, I've worked with a number of guys with the NFL,
right,
who will say, I would love to be a good dad, but please just tell me what to do. And they literally mean, you know, I'm going to be with my kids on Saturday and my wife's not around. What do I do with them? Aww. You know, where do I take them? So sometimes it's really the very simple things that dads just don't know. They may not know how to relate to a daughter. They're afraid they don't understand a daughter. And I find a lot of times dads, because they're fearful of the relationships with their kids or afraid they're not going to do things right, they tend to really pull back in the family. And fundamentally, I think that the majority of dads out there, even really great dads, lack some self-esteem because they just don't know where they're supposed to fit in the family. So even really good dads feel very confused.
Let me put out the phone number if you have a question for Dr. Meg Meeker. The book is You've Got This, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within, and you can find it, of course, on her website, megmeekermd.com. We'll also make it available in our resource section on the Ave Maria Radio Archives, 877-573-7825. You were talking about the influence of the culture on this. There is a fascinating documentary that just came out, and it was done by a young woman, and it's called Humana Vitae, of Human Life 50 Years Later. And
yes,
she actually began, and you probably heard about it because we've been talking about it on the radio, and I know you're a regular listener. She actually began this documentary because she was conceived through a donor. So she's a donor child, and she said, you know, in trying, realizing that she didn't even know who her father is and how in the world could she ever find her father, and looking at what the culture has done to us in terms of fathers are so insignificant, we just want them to help us have a child through a sperm donation. This is how disconnected we've gotten in terms of the important role of fathers.
You know, absolutely, and I found that so fascinating. And in fact, there's a whole group of people that have sort of banded together who grew up as children of sperm donors and have found there's this internal drive, this instinctive drive to want to know, to need to know, who was he and where did I come from and where is he and why didn't he? You know, and it's just so primal, this drive to know where we came from, you know, our father. And because every person alive has a father. You know, we can say people don't need them. We can have children without fathers. We can't. You've still got to have at least, you know, the sperm donation. And while sperm donation is not a father, it still taps into that deep need a person has to know that father. We also know that many kids who've been adopted, at some point in their lives, even though they have a great adoptive father, many kids, not all kids, have this drive to want to know, you know, who was my biologic father and, you know, why didn't he stick around and did he not want me and this kind of a thing. And all those questions that need to be answered that I really believe God places in our hearts to help us to understand that where we come from is incredibly important.
Absolutely.
And the thing that I think that fathers need to realize, too, is, you know, that God chose to share a name, father, with dads. He didn't do that to mothers. He chose to share a name with fathers because he is the father. And I just find that incredibly, incredibly significant.
Let's go to the phones. Ron, holding patiently, calling in from Union, Missouri this morning on line one. Hi, Ron. What's your comment or question for Dr. Meg Meeker this morning? Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. I had a comment to make. I appreciate your program very much. I've been up all night listening, so...
Oh, good. Well, thanks.
I appreciate the station. I've been pondering the thought that fathers are important, and yet the heritage that I have, or that any father has, is sometimes a questionable heritage. And the question is, how do we bring children up to make choices that are indeed choices of their own? Because so many times we find that, you know, you're raised and you become whatever you were.
Right.
And when, you know, when the bird comes out of is hatched, it attaches itself to the first thing it sees. And the point being that we seem to do that. We grab a hold of our heritage, which is important for a while, but then there's some place where an adult has to make a choice for themselves. And
gotcha.
So many times I'm afraid that they choose too soon and they're not given a chance to give a free choice, an objective choice of what they want to do. And I speak as an aged ex-clergyman and a seminary graduate. And I'm greatly concerned about this.
Okay, well, let me let Meg address this because you bring up some really good points, Ron, and so appreciate you calling in and listening. Any thoughts, Meg?
You know, I think that's a great, great point. And what I will say to that is that, you know, the sooner a father can be involved in a child's life in those early years, the better, because kids will attach to a father or father figure very early on in life because they have a need to be attached. And I think that it's, you know, it serves different purposes or several purposes in a child's life. First, you know, the father figure, the father, sets a template for how that child should relate to all men in the future. She or he has a good experience with dad. They will relate to men in a positive way. At the same time, if they had a negative experience, they're going to push back from a father figure, a boy, a teacher, a priest. It doesn't matter later in life. And I think the other thing is that, you know, dads are an enormous role model. Kids tend to repeat what they see dad doing. And so I think that if a child has a good, solid roots, that is going to give them a sense that, you know, I am able and I am capable, because my dad showed me that I have the self-worth and I have the ability to make my own choices. So I think that a child that has a decent and solid relationship with dad in the first 20 years of life will go on to make independent, healthy, strong decisions on their own. Where I found the kids get into trouble repeating mistakes of the past is when they've had a painful relationship with a father or father figure in those first 20 years of life. They don't know who they are. They're going to repeat mistakes of their friends. They truly don't feel they have the choice to make their own good decisions. But those who had a strong relationship with dad feel the freedom to make choices on their own. I hope that makes some sense.
Yeah, it sure does. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate your phone call. And more with Dr. Meg Meeker after the break. Remember, she's still available if you have a question or a comment. 877-573-7825. You've got this. Unlocking the Hero Dad Within. We'll be right back.
He was born and bred in Okarche, Oklahoma, and he sensed a call to the priesthood, but was asked to leave after 6 years due to low grades. But he never gave up. His farmer-like perseverance paid off in 1963 with ordination, and he later became a missionary in Guatemala, where he started a radio station, helped build a hospital, and translated the New Testament into the native Tzulahil language. When extremist militants who ran Guatemala put him on a death squad hit list, he was brought back to Oklahoma, but he soon returned saying, "The shepherd cannot run from his flock." On a hot July evening in 1981, this servant of the poor and of the gospel was murdered. This September 23rd, Father Stanley Rother will become the very first U.S.-born male blessed, an amazing priest and martyr. Father Stanley, pray for us. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
So great to have Dr. Meg Meeker on with us. MegMeekerMD.com is her great website. She's a fellow Michigander living in beautiful northern lower Michigan. And her latest book is You've Got This, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within. I love what you said earlier about it's so important to know who we are. And I've had the experience, a blessed experience, to be able to trace my family history. I knew about it in general growing up because I was very close to my grandparents on both sides of the family, so I knew where they were from. But since Deacon Dom and I traveled to Italy so often, I was able through Ancestry.com and some contacts to go to each town of my heritage, Meg. And when I was coming home, we were coming back to the mainland from Sicily over to Calabria to drive up the coast, I sent pictures to my nieces and nephews. And the Straits of Messina, my father's family is from Reggio Calabria, which is right across from Sicily. And I sent pictures of the Straits of Messina to my nieces and nephews and said, "Your great-grandmother swam in these waters." And they were like, "That is so cool." And yeah. I've been to every town. I even saw my great-grandfather's home. I saw the church where my great-grandparents were married. And what you said about knowing where you're from, despite the fact that all of us, you know, have some, maybe some nuts in our family tree, right? We have some questionable people and we pray for them, and not that we don't have our issues. But knowing who you are and where you come from, in addition to being a daughter or son of the king, knowing your individual family heritage, I think, is really important.
It's very important, you know, and God created us as relational people. And I think that now what we're doing in American culture is we're raising kids to think that they can be completely autonomous. And that's where they're moving away from relationship into complete autonomy. And it's painful. And I think that understanding that you are a relational person and that you have this deep sense that you belong to a deeper web of relationships gives kids a tremendous sense of a rootedness and belonging, and it shapes your identity.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a strength and a sense of self-worth because you're not autonomous. You are part of something bigger. And that's really what I think heritage gives to kids that's so critically important, is that I matter to a larger group of people that is intergenerational, and I fit there. Kids today don't know where they fit. They don't even know if they fit in their immediate family because many times they don't spend time with them. You know, mom and dad aren't around, or siblings are gone, or they spend so much time away from home, they don't have a sense that they're part of a unit, even a small unit. So this is critically important from kids, and I think as parents, we need to understand how important it is and get back to trying to communicate to them, this is where you came from, and this is where you belong in the past and today.
And I think also living your life as a good, faithful dad and mom, I mean, being who you are, be who you are, as John Paul II, St. John Paul II always said, that is among the greatest witnesses we can have in this crazy world, saying, as you started out the interview, that fatherhood doesn't matter, you know, you could just make things up as you go along. So I think being a good dad is a great witness.
Absolutely. And a lot of fathers think, well, you know, because I use the word hero, you know, unlocking the hero dad within. And, you know, many dads, wait a minute, I can't be a hero. And the whole point is, through your child's eyes, you are a hero. You know, you're the guy who's the strongest, smartest, biggest, most authoritative, you know, most painful, most loving, whatever person in life. And so it's really important that you do have that power in your child's life. But I think a lot of dads sort of feel like I'm not much to my child. Again, they hear all these messages, they pick up them, and many times they pick them up from their wives, from siblings, from their, you know, their own mothers, that you're really not that important. But to understand that God wired every dad with exactly what he needs to be a good dad. He doesn't have to be a great dad or have a PhD in psychology to be able to communicate well with his kids, but he has what it takes to be a good enough dad to his kids and to really lean into God and say, okay, you know, I am these kids' dad because you ordained me to be. So give me what I need to get through with my kids today and tomorrow and the next day. And that goes so far with children.
Absolutely. Let's take another phone call. Veronica calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Veronica. What's your question or comment for Dr. Meg Meeker this morning? We're talking about her new book, You've Got This, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within. Go ahead.
Hi. It's more of a comment. I wanted to thank y'all so much for this topic. My daughter, she's 12 years old. Her father left us when we were 3 because he is an alcoholic.
Aww.
And here lately, within this last couple of months, she's been questioning a lot, like, why did he leave me? I don't understand. I wish he would change. And this topic really helps. And yes, dads do really count in a child's life, especially little girls. You know, I think they make that first impression for a man.
Yeah,
in their lives. And
well, God bless you, Veronica, for staying strong and for talking to your daughter. I can't even imagine what that's like. Meg, any advice for this
absolutely.
Amazing woman, Veronica?
Well, God bless you. You know, you're in a position a lot of women are in. I would encourage you to allow her to grieve that she doesn't have a dad. So many times mothers will say, well, come on, you don't really need a dad. Aren't I enough? And, you know, the kids need their dad, and it's important to grieve that they don't have a dad. The second thing is, when she asks, where is daddy, why didn't he want to stay around, tell him that he was ill, you know, that daddy really was sick, and he wanted to be with her, but he couldn't because he was ill. And that's really important. And then the third thing is, do your best to expose her to really good men. You know, maybe if you have a brother or a father, grandfather, pastor who will that you can talk to her about and sort of bring that man to life. At least she can shape a mental image of what a good dad should look like and treat her like. And that will take her a very long way, but allow her to grieve that she doesn't have a dad, and don't tell her that dad wasn't important, because he is and was.
Yeah, and also, too, and I know, Meg, you would definitely agree with this because you talk about this all the time, is to make sure, Veronica, and I'm sure you're doing this as well, especially if you're listening to us on Catholic Radio, to remind her of God the Father, that he loves her and who he is and who she is as a daughter of the King. She is royalty. She is a daughter of the Son Most High. Never, ever let her forget it. Right, Meg?
Absolutely. And in that sense, bring God to life. Bring God the Father to life. So read through the scriptures and find out the character qualities of God and how he acted on behalf of his children, and say, look what he did for so-and-so, and look what he did for Abraham, and look what he did for Sarah, and, you know, look what he did for Paul, and all these people, and say, this is what a good father does. And guess what? That same father loves you and loves me. So can you allow to open your heart to allow God to be your father? And he will, because he never lets his children down.
Yeah, and also, too, don't you think the teachings in Scripture and in the Church about the Lord's love for women and the way he treated women, Jesus was the biggest women's liber that ever lived, ever walked the earth, and will ever be, right?
Absolutely, and go through the stories of, the woman at the well, or, when Jesus, she washed his feet. There's so many beautiful stories of women interacting with Jesus where he showed incredible kindness and gave them tremendous freedom.
Absolutely. Meg, always great to speak with you. Congrats on the latest book. You've got this, Unlocking the Hero Dad Within. And Veronica, God love you. And also thanks to Ron calling in earlier. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage, by our friend Dr. David Anders from EWTN Radio, discovering hidden grace in the sacrament of matrimony. David, so glad to finally have you on. Thanks for this book. And boy, the Catholic teaching saved my marriage and saved my life, too. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, so what prompted you? Obviously, you had a powerful experience with the teachings of the Church, and it really compelled you to write this book. Tell us a little bit about it. What led to the actual book writing?
Well, several things. One, the simplest answer is when I was casting around for what I wanted to write about, I turned to my wife and said, how should I write this thing? She said, write about how the Catholic Church saved our marriage. And because, you know, she had a great sense for what is the most visceral, tangible, and immediate effect that coming to Catholicism had on my life and our lives. And it really was the effect it had on the sacrament of matrimony. You know, we live the faith through the sacraments. And for many people, that means living the faith through their marriage. And so secondly, as you know, I work in EWTN Radio, and we have a call-in show. The show is called To Communion. We talk about theology, what's stopping mm-hmm. people from becoming Catholic. And a lot of times that can seem kind of abstract. You know, you're talking about doctrines and philosophy and biblical studies, this kind of thing. And some people are very drawn to that. Others hear that kind of language and they say, well, that's all interesting, but it doesn't have anything to do with my life. Where does that touch me in my, you know, my deepest self? And I thought, you know, by telling a narrative, by weaving the story of theology and church teaching and doctrine around the impact that it could actually have on a real human life, people see the relevance of these things. These aren't just ideas we're talking about. This can be life and death to people. You know, grabbing hold of the grace of Christ can be the difference between life and death.
The church teachings are something that really opened my eyes on my way back, and I'm a cradle Catholic, and when my husband and I had our reversion, we were pretty much self-taught, because back over 25 years ago, EWTN was still a little bit new, and Catholic radio was just beginning, and so we had to do some digging on our own, and I think that was actually good that we had to do it on our own. And when I started to read what the church had to say about marriage, I had no idea, Dr. Andrews, that the whole idea of marriage was to help the other person get to heaven. Duh, where had I been all those years, right? Somehow I missed that. And when you read that, and when you really embrace that idea, it changes everything.
Well, it is. It's transformative. And what you say is true, but don't forget that if you are not a Catholic and you are not a baptized person, the church still has something to say, even if you don't believe in heaven. The church still has something to say to you about your marriage, because the first end of every marriage, natural marriage, sacramental marriage, is to raise children, to bring kids into the world. And that in itself is a transcendent reality. I mean, by definition, once you've invested yourself in another human person, you've been taken out of yourself, you know? So there's something that's spiritual about even a natural marriage bringing birth to another human life. I mean, every human life is a transcendent being created in the image of God. And that's the first end of every marriage. But if you're a baptized person, if you're a Catholic person, if you come to share in the grace of Christ, then that act of being a mother and a father can do more than just bring a child into the world. It can bring a child and prepare him for heaven.
What particular teachings were really life-changing for you? I mean, you talk about teachings on marriage. There's several documents or encyclicals that we could go to. But what in particular was it, Dr. Anders?
Well, I think of all the teachings of the Catholic Church, the one that has had the greatest impact on my life is the doctrine of grace. The doctrine of grace, which is that, you know, God desires to forgive our sins and reconcile us to himself, but he doesn't want to leave us as we were. He reconciles us so that he can change us into his image and likeness. And, of course, St. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, how does that transformation play out in my life, in your life, in the life of a priest, a monk, a religious? A little bit differently. And in the vocation of marriage, that transformation in grace means that I receive grace, I receive divine help to lay down my life on behalf of my spouse in imitation of Christ, who laid down his life on behalf of his bride, the church, to make her holy and to bring her to God.
So walk us through the book, and for whom did you write the book? Is this something that you obviously want couples to share, but what about people in marriage prep or people in marriage enrichment? What do you think?
I think all of the above, and I think you don't have to be a married person to appreciate it either, because, I mean, the book, of course, it tells the story of my conversion to Catholicism and my wife coming back into the practice of the Catholic faith and the impact that had on our lives, but if you know a little bit about my story, I read my way into the church. I was mm-hmm. an academic, I was a historian, I was studying the history of Christian theology, and so, you know, I kind of take you step by step from, you know, what does it look like to discover the Catholic Church in history, to begin to appreciate not just the Catholic teaching on marriage, but Catholicism in general, what appeal it might have to a person to actually think about becoming Catholic, deal with some of the intellectual hurdles I had in becoming Catholic, some of the interior spiritual struggles. And then slowly, to see how that conversion to the Catholic faith ultimately came to challenge my thinking about the nature of my marriage, my family life, my experience of the sacraments, and then to really to wrap my head around some of the so-called hard teachings of the church. I mean, what does the church say about human sexuality and the kind of restraint that we have to exercise, even within married life, that seems unthinkable to our secular contemporaries? Is there grace that can help us in that practice of restraint? And then above all, what do you do in a difficult situation, a difficult marriage, a painful marriage, the experience of suffering? And what the church says about suffering is very helpful to couples in troubled marriages, but it's helpful to everybody, because I don't care who you are, you're going to have suffering in your life. It's unavoidable. Everybody, you know.
Right.
Into each life some rain must fall. Isn't that what the jazz singer said? You know, but it's going to come. And the church teaches you not only how to endure that, but to how to make of it something beautiful for God.
Yeah, and also Scripture is pretty clear. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, and it's what we do with that suffering and how we approach it that can make a difference. And that's why, you know, instructions like this are so important. If you have a question for Dr. David Andrews, give us a call, 877-573-7825. The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage, Discovering Hidden Grace in the Sacrament of Matrimony, published by EWTN. You can find it, of course, at the Religious Catalog. What kind of response have you been getting from the book?
Well, I'm happy to say the folks that have read it have all liked it, and my aim was to do something that people had not encountered before. You know, there are a lot of books on marriage, Catholic marriage, secular marriage. There are books on marriage therapy. There are books on dealing with troubled marriages. There are books on theology of the body. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there in this genre. But I don't think there's any book that gives a sort of comprehensive catechesis in the Church's doctrine on marriage, connects it to the kerygma, connects it to the central mysteries in the Catholic religion about Christ and the atonement and the death of Christ and how that is lived out in the sacraments, and then actually shows you how embracing these teachings, you know, in the form of a narrative, can change a human life. So it's part apologetics. It's part dogmatic theology, it's part marriage therapy, it's part spiritual autobiography. And so I mean to teach as well as tell a story. And folks that have read the book have said, I get that out of it. I see that when I've read this book, I've come to understand the nature of the Catholic faith better, and I also find the story compelling because it's a real human life. And I don't, you know, people have said, man, you didn't hold anything back. Well, I really did hold some stuff back, and my wife had veto power over every page, and every once in a while she would say, Dave, you're not going to put that in there. I'm not letting you put that in there.
You know what they say, Doctor, a happy wife is a happy life, right?
That's exactly right.
Really important stuff. Let's take a quick break. It's 47 minutes past the hour. We're chatting with Dr. David Andrews. Of course, you hear him on Call to Communion right here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage, Discovering Hidden Grace in the Sacrament of Matrimony. You can find it at our Religious Catalog, EWTN.com/Religious Catalog. We'll be right back. If you have a question, still a few minutes left in our program, 877-573-7825. Stay tuned. We'll wrap up Catholic Connection when we come back.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruz, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% to Father Bouquet's Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
First of all, I want to tell you, I wish your program was on 24/7 because you are, this is the best program. I listen to it every morning heading to Mass.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, and let's go to the phones. We're chatting about marriage with Dr. David Anders and his new book. And the book is The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage and Discovering Hidden Grace in the Sacrament of Matrimony. Again, 877-573-7825. So are you hearing good things about the book?
So far, yeah. I haven't met anybody that hasn't liked it.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, so that's encouraging. And the most encouraging thing to me is folks have said, you know, we see what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to actually teach. You're teaching about marriage. You're telling what the church says, but you're doing it in an entertaining way by weaving a story around it.
Yeah.
You know, let me just say one other thing that I hadn't gotten to yet. That one of the things that I got out of the Catholic teaching on marriage, I grew up in a devout Christian home. My parents have a wonderful marriage. You know, they believed in fidelity. They weren't going to divorce each other. They were going to take care of one another no matter what. You know, they were faithful, just people, and I really appreciate that formation. But I didn't have a real good sense that marriage itself was a vocation and the primary vocation of a married person, a married Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I grew up with an idea that I think a lot of people have. You know, you ask kids, what are you going to do when you grow up? And what you mean by that is, what profession are you going to choose? Are you going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a radio host? What are you going to do? As if the meaning, the purpose, the value of our life is somehow defined by our utility, you know, that we can contribute something in the economic sphere. And that's not bad. I mean, that's a good thing. But in the modern economy, it's more tempting than ever to define your life and your identity around that. And the Catholic Church has a wholly different perspective. You ask a child, what are you going to do when you grow up? What they mean is, through what vocation are you going to get to heaven? Through what vocation are you going to get to heaven? Are you going to be a priest? You going to be a religious sister? You can be a monk or a nun. Are you going to be a married person and participate that way? And, you know, the church says marriage is an ecclesial state, just like being a monk or a nun or a priest. It shares in the ministry of the church to make Christ present in the world.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I didn't understand that. I did not understand that marriage was holy and sanctified, but I didn't understand it as a vocation. And so I think a lot of Christian people, even young people of goodwill, go out into the world and think they have to make their mark, and they do. But they don't realize they have to make their mark in the world through their Christian vocation. And if you're a married person, that means marriage. Everything mm-hmm. else you do, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, is there essentially to support that primary vocation. And so I went through this struggle as a young man. You know, I was an aspiring academic, and I thought that the way to serve the church and make my mark in the world was through the study of theology. And I really felt justified, honestly, and I'm ashamed to say it, in sometimes neglecting my wife and my kids when they were very young, because hey, I was serving the church. You know, I was studying theology. I was preparing to be a teacher, and that was how I was going to serve God. And now people say, well, you know, is your vocation theologian? And I go, no, that's how I support my family. That's just my work. My vocation is being a husband and a father.
Husband, right. Let's go to the phones. Anthony's been holding, calling in from North Dakota on line one. Hi, Anthony. What's your comment or your question for Dr. David Anders this morning? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. David Anders, you've been a big help with Cult Communion. I had a reversion experience about 3 years ago. And I've often, it was funny when I heard about your book and heard about it coming out, I had said my conversion story really starts with this, the one time God spoke to me and said, Catholicism will save your marriage. And this was when I was agnostic and, you know, really consider myself atheist. And we were on the verge of divorce, and our whole story is rather thrilling in some ways, but we don't got time here. But Catholicism will save your marriage. And we ended up, I was a cradle Catholic, ended up going to the Catholic Church. I had no interest, kind of just one of those last hope things. And long story short, we had to go through the convalidation process. We learned all about what marriage really is. We after our convalidation, learned about NFP, Humanae Vitae, all of that. And, the teachings of the church, it literally saved our marriage. And when I hear you share your story, I haven't read your book yet. I plan to get it. I got about 20 other books as well that I'm trying to get through.
But don't we
I'm
all?
Trying to get through it. But I support everything you're saying. You're absolutely right. Everything I've heard you say about your book, the sanctity of marriage, the teachings of the church, you don't hear it. You don't hear it in the culture. And we're really left to fend for ourselves. And in the culture, all I ever heard was, you know, you need to be happy. You need to be happy. You need to do what's good for you. And it wasn't about sacrificing, you know, making sacrifice. And it wasn't about putting your spouse first. And, as we brought that into our marriage and, you know, really, really came into the church and all of that, my wife was Lutheran. So she came into the church about a year and a half ago. And,
oh, that's great. Listen, Anthony, anyway, I'm so sorry. We don't mean to cut you off, but we are out of time, and I have to wrap up before we get cut off by our satellite break. But the book is The Catholic Church Save My Marriage by our friend Dr. David Anders. Of course, he is with us on the air on Call to Communion here on EWTN Radio, and you can buy the book from our religious catalog. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.